add to that a little bit. When we study the book of Acts, we see in the second half of it the Apostle Paul and whoever is with him, whether it's Barnabas or Silas or Timothy, his policy was to go first to the synagogues of the Jews. And sometimes it was a very short time. Other times, like at Ephesus, it was about 3 months before they were run off. Now the Jews, going back to Deuteronomy, God had chosen them as a very special people to be his witnesses to who God was in this world. And the Jews felt that they were God's favorite people. They considered other people dogs. The Gentiles were dogs. And here is an assembly. Back in this time, those who were something because of what God had chosen them to be, but remember, they had rejected the Lord Jesus, and they were rejecting his servants who brought the truth to them, and their synagogues became, as it were, a synagogue of Satan. And those whom the Lord really chose for himself, who were on his side, I think we see a little of this in Philippians 3. The apostle counts what he had been for filth, and his desire is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and so on. And the Lord says, I'm going to publicly vindicate you before these who tried to kill you, who tried to persecute you, who tried to do everything against you. I'm going to show one day publicly, in 2 Thessalonians 1, as Brian has referred to it, the end of the chapter, the Lord is going to come back. We're going to be following him, and the world will see who the Lord's people really are, in contrast to all that man has organized. And in this day and age, historically speaking, many times those who were really seeking the Lord, seeking to keep his word, not deny his name, those who were learning that he was coming soon, they left what they had been in. And of course, they were opposed by the organizations as such. The promise to the overcomer is, he that overcomes, him will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. The temple of Solomon had two huge pillars standing before it, Boaz and Jachin. These were things that were seen and that could be appreciated. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more at all out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. You know, the Lord is going to publicly identify those that have been faithful to him, those that have put him first in everything, even if they were not part of some mega church or some big organization. The Lord is going to publicly identify them, own them as his. And the world is going to have to see who is on the Lord's side, who really pleased him. You know, you read the media, and there are organizations today in the Christian world. They're big, they're written about. Preachers, we had a sister just last week. To please her sister in the flesh, she went with her on a Sunday afternoon to hear one of these big name preachers. I'm not going to name the name, but we were sorry that she would do her sister that favor to go somewhere else to hear a very well-known man who's big on TV, and You know, skip the meeting where the Lord is in the midst and where he would use very ordinary people to make himself known. It's a one-time thing, and I don't think we're going to have it run into this again with this dear sister. But, you know, this is the way the world functions. The world wants something big and popular and prominent and, you know, something they can boast of. The Lord, when the Lord was here on earth, when he came, he was born in Bethlehem. He wasn't born in Rome, where the seat of the empire was. He wasn't even born in Jerusalem, where the temple was. He was born in Bethlehem. And when the Lord grew up, he grew up on the other side of the tracks. You know, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's where he grew up. A root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53 says of him. And his followers should have his attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we follow him. And one day, the world will have to recognize who was on the right side. Was it the big organizations, or was it those who simply made much of the Lord?
In verse 10, we read of really a revelation that comforts all those that wait for the Lord Jesus. In verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. These are words of the ascended Savior, the head of the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We talked about the position of the church that was revealed to the church of Philadelphia. And here, the ascended Savior, I will keep you from. He didn't say, I will keep you through, but he say, I will keep you from. There is a day of tribulation. There is a day of trial coming on this world. And just to think, brothers and sisters, what happened the last 2 days? Have you thought when you look what's happening in Boston? All the destruction and the thousands and thousands of policemen and armed personnel running to save a city. And at the same time, the same thing happens in the small, this is a town of more than a million, Boston, and a small town of 2,800 is called West in Texas. They have the calamity of the fire. It was a state of chaos. And anyone in his right mind would think, what is going on? But brethren, that what is going to happen when we are raptured. The moment that we are raptured, can you believe that every city in America today, the police and the civic authorities are running around like a hen with her head cut off. They don't know what to do. That's exactly what's going to happen. And then the Lord Jesus here tells each one of us, because you kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from. Not I will keep you through. Not today, while we are living in our day, we go through trials and tribulations. And the Lord Jesus tells each one of us, I am with you in trouble. When you go in the water, it's not cover you. The fire will not burn you. I am with you in trouble. I am with him in trouble. I will deliver him and glorify him. But the tribulation that he's talking it about, the Lord Jesus mentions it in Matthew chapter 24, and he says, there was nothing like it. Nothing happened in the earth since creation until that time. He says, I will keep you from. The church is not going through the tribulation. The Lord will snatch us out of the scene before the judgment is poured on this earth that denied him and still denying him. What's a comfort for our souls? Then we can say from the heart, even so, come Lord Jesus.
That word out from means out of.
Out of.
Just one thought. Look what he says. Here it reads this way, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Or you could say the word of my endurance. You know, when you read between the lines in Philadelphia, I believe what the Lord is saying is, I'm keeping you out of the tribulation because you've suffered for my name here already. In other words, why would he make them of the synagogue of Satan come and bow down? Because they tormented them so much. And, you know, he said, he spoke in the Gospels of suffering for the Son of Man's sake, for my sake. And let's see. I wanted to ask, please. Oh, I just had the thought. You know, he that overcomes. You know, I wonder if the overcomer in Philadelphia doesn't leave his first love, like those in Ephesus did. But it's how beautiful he speaks of his love for them, that I have loved you.
Just a quick thought on the overcomers. Brother Eugene had mentioned the pillars in the temple, and it got me curious, and I looked it up quick. The meaning of Boaz and whatever the other one is.
Jacob.
The meaning of those names is he establishes, and in him is strength. And I think what the lesson there is, the strength of those pillars is God is the strength. And sometimes we want to have that character of Philadelphia, and we want to have that sense of revival. And I just read a book. It's the book on the Second Great Awakening. I can't remember the preacher who wrote it, but it was in the 1750s, I think in Massachusetts. Jonathan Edwards, exactly. And it was interesting the way he described what happened during that awakening. He and his father before him, they had served faithfully as ministers in this particular congregation for decades. They didn't really do anything differently. It was in prayer, they kept working for God. And God is the one who brought the revival, and it was very sudden, and it surprised them. So just that thought, maybe, we wonder, what do we need to do to be like Philadelphia, to be the overcomers? You know, do I have to do some great thing so that God can do something great? But God is the one who does the work. And just to add a verse to that, Micah 6, verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is required of you, and it's to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
I just would refer to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 also. The apostle is expressing a wish for them, but the Lord direct your hearts into the love of Christ, love of God, and the patience into the patience of the Christ. And I think these things characterize Philadelphia, the love of God and the patience of the Christ. One translation says the patient waiting for Christ. It's really Christ's patience in waiting to return for us. And we need to properly appreciate that. And just as he is being patient until the day that the Father says, go back and get those, so we need to be patient in waiting for him. And Philadelphia is taken up with the coming of the Lord in that way. He says, I come quickly.